Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, and that's the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You are listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and it is the month of June. And for my listeners who know, the last few weeks I've been running for Congress, and I did not make the runoff, but the runoff is this week for my listeners in North Mississippi's District 1, Congressional District 1. You need to get out and vote for Trent Kelly on Tuesday, June the 2nd. Make sure you vote, because if we don't get enough voters out to vote for Trent Kelly, we're going to have a liberal Democrat to the left of Barack Obama to represent the people of one of the most conservative places in our nation. So please get out and vote and stand up for principle. I am behind Trent Kelly. I've contributed to his campaign. I've worked for Trent Kelly to get elected, and I want him to win this runoff, and he needs to win it for the people of North Mississippi's District 1 and for our nation, So I'm glad that Trent Kelly, even though I would have liked to have been in the runoff and been the next congressman, it didn't work out. I worked hard, and my supporters worked hard, but it's time to get behind Trent Kelly. I'm behind him 100%. Go to the polls and vote June 2nd. Get out there. And now, as far as today's show for this week, we have got the legacy of lawlessness. As President Barack Obama gets ready to sort of give his legacy as president, I'm telling you, his legacy is out there. It's not what he wants. It's not what the Democratic Party wants. But there is a legacy of lawlessness. And we're going to talk about that during this show. Before we get there, there's a couple of things I need to tell you. First, there is this minimum wage law. We've talked about the minimum wage different times on this show, but you got to understand, everybody's for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour as long as it doesn't affect their business. Guess what? The unions in Los Angeles, they've passed the minimum wage law that will increase up to the year 2020 to $15 an hour. But now the very unions who wanted that are saying they want to be exempt from law because they want to use it as a negotiating tool so they can get people in the union and tell the businesses, well, you negotiate with us and we'll get the law below $15 an hour. Can you believe such shenanigans? Can you believe this comes from the left? It does come from the left. And the reason people are they jump on the bandwagon for $15 minimum wage, and look what's happening in places. I think Seattle, Washington, the restaurants are being squeezed. Restaurants of renown are going out of business or looking for other places to get out of town because they cannot make a profit at $15 an hour, or it squeezes them so hard it's not possible. And this is something you got to look at the liberal policy and planted. The seeds of destruction are growing. Our economy is not in great shape. And yet you would not know it by listening to this beautiful rose-colored glass look at the way our unemployment is going down. But is anyone talking about their worker participation percentage, the lowest, since 1978, in the late 70s. We got more people in America not working than working, and it's going to come from 1978. I'm talking about the workers' participation number. We have fewer now than all the way back to the 70s, and how many more are on the federal roll? We cannot continue this trend, people. And and the liberals are talking about how wonderful the economy is. They're talking about how they're smelling like roses and how everything that this president has put into place is just blooming. And I don't see the blooms. I see the thorns, and it's hurting. People are dying in places across the world because of the lack of American leadership. We got people dying in this country. Go ask the citizens of Baltimore, do they like what's going on in the city of Baltimore that's been run by Democrats for over 50 years? Why can't this country come to terms with the liberal madness and understand what the liberals are saying? It's put up the numbers. They put up all the statistics, and they talk till their face is blue, but look at the places where they've had 50 years of Democratic domination in politics, in cities like Baltimore, cities like Detroit, cities all over this country. And these are the ones that are calling out for federal help because of the riots in Baltimore. We have got a problem in this country, and it's the legacy of lawlessness that I'm going to get to in a few minutes. And this show will have a lot to listen, and I hope you can respond to what this show is about. But before we get to the lawlessness, the legacy of lawlessness in this country, to talk about the lack of leadership in the world. And what am I talking about? Well, take a listen to this.
No acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation, alter that character, or eclipse the light of the values that we stand for.
That's President Barack Obama the day after the four Americans were killed in Benghazi, saying that terror would not shake America, would not alter our course and the values we stand for. And I have to have a lot of concern, because just last week, President Obama said, he told the Iraqi leaders that they were on their own, you know, that we weren't going to go in and save them as far as the security of Baghdad. And I do know we cannot be policemen, but when President Obama has been good about motioning and signaling to the enemy that they can move in, and let's just go back and see what happened at Ramadi. I talked about that last week. And we talked about some international happenings. And I have to just tell you, when I heard the president say that the White House was putting out the signals that they would not secure Baghdad, the United States would use air power, but that's it. If Baghdad can't take care of yourself, then we're not coming in. And there's a lot of Americans may agree with that. But you have to look at what we're losing with. If America and the free world loses Baghdad, even though Iran controls it in a lot of ways, you think, well, just let them fight it out. But you forget what America's prestige is. It's gone to shambles, but there's still some prestige that we back, and we can help them out. But when the president signaled that the United States would not be there for Baghdad, now let's look what he's telling the terrorists. Look what he's telling ISIS, the Islamic State. He's saying, look, we may use air power, but if you got any civilians, and there also came out a news release last week about some of the anonymous pilots, United States pilots, saying that they are so hand-tied that cannot go against ISIS because of all the rules of engagement. And we see ISIS taking over city after city and growing. And does the Obama administration still think they're a JV team? And not the people in the cities where they're taking over, because they start slicing off heads about trials. I talked about that last week. The beheadings, the blood spilling across the streets is a threat. It is an intimidation method. And that is why the Iraqi army is caving, and they need the backbone. And if they can't secure their city, let them go, says Obama. But this is what is so sickening. Think about the lives of Americans, the cost in the not only lives, but the body parts. What Americans lost in the war in Iraq, and President Bush sending the surge, the Iraq War was won, and then it was given to Barack Obama. And we've lost our presence there. We had no air power. He took all the troops out. And so what happened? We've got almost a $1 billion embassy there. And I don't know what all's in that embassy, but it's not a regular embassy in Iraq. It's well protected. Are we just going to give that over to the Islamic State along with all our tanks and everything else that they're taking over? How much military equipment is in Baghdad that will go straight to the Islamic State if we lose Baghdad? But now let me get to the point of what I want you to understand. In Ramadi, how did Iraq lose Ramadi? Well, you have to give it to ISIS. They put fear into the hearts of all the Iraqi soldiers because they know there is no prisoner of war. I mean, if you're caught, and if you're caught behind the line, if your line is overrun and you're in an Iraqi army uniform, I mean, there's no quarter. I mean, the head is being sliced off. I mean, there's no choice. They know what's going to happen. There may be torture for the head sliced off. And so when things look bad, they don't stand together. It's every man for himself, evidently. That's what happened in Ramadi. But what they say, the way the battle was lost in Ramadi, there was a lot more Iraqi soldiers there than the attackers from Islam, from the Islamic State. But there was a sandstorm and confusion. And then that's when the Islamic State sent in the suicide truck bombs, huge bombs. It wasn't just a car bomb. I mean, huge truck bombs sent in several of them, several parts of the city, blew open barracks, and it put fear during the sandstorm. As the Islamic State sent their troops in, and the Iraqi army went running, and they were fearing for their lives. They ran for their lives, and they got out of Ramadi and gave the city over. And there was a swift overtaking of the city by the Islamic State. And then the government workers or anybody that had anything to do with the government in the history of their lives were pulled out in the streets and their heads were sliced off, beheaded, blood squirting out of the neck. And the citizens were allowed to see this, and it put fear in the whole city. And that's what the Islamic State does. Now, get this. This is 70 miles from Baghdad. Okay, where are you in your city? Where do you live? What's an hour away from you? What's 70 miles going from an interstate from you? How far away is that? We know that as an hour drive, an hour, a little more. That is how close the Islamic State is coming to Baghdad. And you know, if it worked before, think about the suicide bombers they're training now, and they've got sophisticated, huge explosions and trucks that blow out holes across any defenses. And if another sandstorm comes, and they want to go through that sandstorm and head to Baghdad, will Baghdad hold? And if it falls, we're talking about literally thousands of citizens are going to have their heads chopped off. And what about the American embassy? We just get out there on helicopters and give it all over and think about all the military equipment we've given the Iraqi army and training facilities. It's all around Baghdad and the airport. And think about what kind of loss that will be to America. America's prestige is imploding now. But if Iraq is an ally and we let their principal city, the capital of the country, fall to a ragtag army of Islamists who are known for chopping heads off, and you think about blood in the streets, the stain of it'll be blood rolling down the streets when thousands of heads are chopped off and their blood allowed to flow into the street. There's something about the Islamic State that loves to see blood flow in the streets, and it's disgusting, it's heart-rending. But that's going to happen to a lot of folks. Anybody that works with an American, they're going to be begging to get out, getting to the embassy. It's going to be like South Vietnam was. You go back and look at those films and those pictures when the Vietnamese knew those who had worked with Americans, if they did not get out on a helicopter, their life was over. Think about what's happening in Baghdad right now, the fear and think about how the Islamic State has learned how to use that fear against the population, against the army. Now, what should President Barack Obama do? He's the commander-in-chief. Well, what we're doing is not working. And I'm telling you, Baghdad will fall, and we are going to have much more of a problem if America does not change its strategy. The military geniuses that we spend fortunes for to train our military leaders, can we not devise a strategy to help our commander-in-chief? Are our hands tied? Do we have a commander-in-chief telling our generals who are trained to get knowledge to him? Or who's making these decisions? Why are we losing a war that we had won? These are questions American people want to know. And these are serious questions. There's people who know people in Baghdad now, and their heads are going to be lopped off. Lopped off as soon as Baghdad falls. So these are serious questions and serious times. And how will the strength of his Islamic State with American military equipment that's there by the billions of dollars stacked up in Baghdad, ready for the Islamic State to take it and use it to their advantage? Wow. Why would we let Baghdad fall? That's the question. That is the question we need to ask. And there was not the assurance when the White House said, you're on your own. We'll give you a little air cover, but you're on your own. That was an invitation for the Islamic State to get the suicide truck bombers ready. Their plan is devised. They're waiting for a sandstorm. They're waiting for they'll anywhere they go, they'll take citizens with them. They'll take people, women and children, to keep America from dropping bombs, and they will go in and they will take over Baghdad because they are not afraid to strike fear into the heart of the city of Baghdad. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but people, we have got a commander-in-chief that does not understand the world. Now, we got to talk about the legacy of lawlessness in America. That's, when I talk about this whole show, the legacy of lawlessness, there's lawlessness going across the country of Iraq and Syria now with Islamic State. We have created a vacuum because American leadership has stepped aside. We have stepped out of the country of Iraq. We have stepped out of the country of Syria. And for years now, the civil war has raged. Islamic State is getting stronger every day. And we got a commander-in-chief and we got an American military that obviously is on the wrong road. We're on the road to the destruction of the Middle East. And we're going to let it, just watch it go, I guess. Iran is reaping in power. They're going in. And then what would happen if we got between a rock and a hard place? We had to help Iraq with Baghdad. What if we just vacate and Iran says, we'll take it, and they'll just take over Baghdad? They almost have, probably. We don't give them any choice. So then Iran not only gets to work on getting a nuclear bomb under President Obama, they get the country of Iraq, which they fought that war back in the 1980s. Well, we just handed all over to Iran. We didn't, but our commander-in-chief has done that and in the process of doing it. So the legacy of lawlessness is around the world, but it's especially happening in the United States. And let's talk about that as soon as we get back from the break. But take a listen to this. There's a song I'm going to play in just a minute. But first, let me remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're talking about the legacy of lawlessness, the Barack Obama administration, President Barack Obama, and the legacy of lawlessness is growing. He wants his legacy to be something that's remembered greatly. But when we talk about this administration, we're going to talk about lawlessness. That's what we've seen over the 8 years. Going to talk about that domestically in just a minute. But I do want you to know you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And I want you to also to understand we're getting cranked back up for a book that's called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order that book and go right there on the front page of the website. since we took a break when we were running for Congress, we're getting that crank back up so you can get the book. You got other books there about the conservative politics, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are giving a voice of reason, a common sense conservative. We're out there working so that we together can, you and me working together, we're turning this country around. It may be slower than we want. I wanted to get into Congress to help speed this process up, but I'm here because of my children, because of you, and America is going in the wrong direction. We've got to turn it around. I have faith. There's enough American people to understand the truth, the problems, and we've got to turn this thing around, our country around. We've got to have more freedom, more liberty. Let's work together. And that's why you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and just every week, tell your friends and neighbors about us. Go back and listen to the archives. And now I do want you to listen to this clip right here from Three Dog Night in the 1970s, and I won't tell you why as soon as you listen.
Open up your window. Let some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking from the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you're smoking, I'm scared you have to death. Open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come.
Now, when I hear Three Dog Night singing about stale perfume and smoke in the room, I just have to think about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in a smoke-filled room, stinking, and that's what America's like. We are stuffed in this country of lawlessness by leadership, failed leadership. It's not leadership, it's a failed leadership. And everybody who thought we were going to get rid of racism by voting for the first African-American president, and we've seen race relationships just pull apart. It's, look at Baltimore and what happened in the riots in Baltimore under Democratic mayor, Democratic for years and decades, Democratic rule in Baltimore. The citizens are upset. Who should they be upset against? It shouldn't be a racial thing. It should be a political thing. Look who your leaders are, and if you don't like the leadership, vote them out. And yet, after almost, 7 years of Barack Obama being our president, race relationships, look at Baltimore, Maryland, look at Ferguson, Missouri, and we say, why has not the first African-American president done something to bring us together? And yet it seems to be racial problems. And even in Baltimore, where there's 6 accused policemen and women and policemen and women together, and some white, some black. And yes, we need an investigation, but do we need the riots? And now we got the mayor wanting the federal government to pay for a man-made disaster, or a woman-made disaster, if you want to talk about the mayor too. But where is this country going? We see more and more lawlessness. Lawlessness leads to more lawlessness, and that is the seed that is growing from these years of the Obama administration. Now let me go back and tell you, in the first administration, who was it? Eric Holder, the Attorney General, our number one law enforcement officer, who was held in contempt of Congress because he lied, he failed to tell the truth. He would not tell the Congress what needed to be told under his testimony under oath, and he's found in contempt of Congress over Fast and Furious. We have never learned about what happened because our Attorney General will not tell the truth. Lawlessness, that's what this administration has given to us from the very beginning. We have Hillary Clinton, who is Secretary of State by law. Her email should be saved. We found out that she had a personal email server against the law, but because she is a Democrat, because she is a Clinton, because she is under the lawlessness of this administration under President Barack Obama, what has happened? Lawlessness breeds more lawlessness. Not only Hillary Clinton and her lawlessness and her refusal to say what's going on in Benghazi? Was there gun running? Were we giving guns and ammunition to Libya against the laws? What was going on? We still don't know. Now, I'm not saying that happened, but a lot of people say it did happen. I am telling you that lawlessness brings more lawlessness. Look at immigration, where the president refused to respect the laws that a Congress made. He said, Congress is not working on this, so I will make an executive directive. It's not constitutional. He even said, our president said many times, he's been recorded, that he could not be a dictator and make law. And then he turned around and did it in the immigration deal by telling people, this is what I'm going to do. And there's a federal court that has held, refuses to give a stay on that law. On that presidential directive on immigration. But lawlessness breeds more lawlessness. If the president can look at the Constitution, he swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. He has shredded it on many occasions, and we've talked about it over the years here. And why would not the citizens of Baltimore believe there should be lawlessness? Why should not the citizens of Ferguson, Missouri go to lawlessness? Because they see lawlessness from the highest positions of our country. That is what we are seeing as the legacy of the Barack Obama presidential administration is the legacy of lawlessness. Where else? Yeah, it's all throughout. What happened at the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS? Lois Lerner, was she punished? How was she resigned? She left her job. She pled the Fifth Amendment. Why won't the administration find out what happened? It loves lawlessness. It loves lawlessness. I've told you time. We helped break the story about the National Organization for Marriage, the IRS. Someone within the IRS leaked out their information, confidential information. It is a felony, a criminal act, whoever did it. And a federal judge, when the IRS was sued by the National Organization for Marriage to get relief, they forced the IRS to pay him $50,000. But the IRS still has not found out who is guilty. They don't care, it doesn't seem like. Where is the investigation? This administration loves lawlessness. They're pushing it down our throats. And what happens when you see lawlessness? It breeds more lawlessness. That is the sad fact of this administration. That is something sad that's going on in America. And when people talk about President Obama looking to Iran to build his legacy, he wants to look at the health care law to build his legacy. And that in itself is lawlessness. When the Supreme Court will make a ruling here in a few weeks, and I hope they rule against the Obamacare, because it is written in the law, and we won't have time to go into it right now, but it's over four words. And if the law is made, passed by Congress, and signed into law by the President of the United States, which the Affordable Care Act, which is a misnomer, it's a lie, it's not affordable, and it's not caring, but the Affordable Care Act signed in law in 2010, and now they're saying these four words shouldn't have been in there, well, send it back to Congress. And don't get mad at the Supreme Court. Don't get mad at Republicans. Get the people like Gruber and others who wrote the law, and you put them up on a pedestal, and then you strike them down. That's their fault. Who wrote the law? That's the people like Nancy Pelosi who said we must pass the law to find out what's in it. We found out it's bogus, and it should be struck down. And again, everywhere this administration touches things, we see lawlessness, refusal to obey the law, and they think they're above the law, including Hillary Clinton when she's Secretary of State, and now she wants to be President of the United States. We don't need more lawlessness. We need somebody who understands law and order. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. That's why we are the first to tell you that this administration is a legacy of lawlessness. And it's a shame. America, the Bible tells us, pride goeth before a fall. This administration is so prideful of its lawlessness, and they wear it like a badge of honor, and the American people should say enough of it. The Democratic Party should be punished. People should not vote for a party that is pushing lawlessness. We see it happening in the streets. What happens when you have the president and his administration that pushes lawlessness and does not obey the law, ignores the law, the Constitution of the United States, and ignores the rule of law? You see cities like Baltimore erupting the riots. You see cities like Ferguson, Missouri erupting the riots. And we need a president in 2016 who will respect and honor the Constitution of the United States. And I'm glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. That is our show this week about President Barack Obama's real legacy, the legacy of lawlessness. Thank you for listening. Next week, we are going to talk more about presidential candidates stacking up in the Republican primary. We'll have a lot to say about that. Can't wait to get to you next week. Thank you for listening. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, presidential candidates. We got a lot to talk about. Talk to you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.